1 and Psalm 34, Psalm 34, as well as Ephesians chapter 5. Psalm 34 will introduce our theme this morning, and then Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be spending most of our time in, Ephesians chapter 5 and Psalm 34. Sometimes kids don't know what is good. Did you ever notice that? Like, one thing they don't know is sleep is good. They don't know that. They'll crash and burn eventually, but they don't know it's nice to sleep. Don't you like to sleep? Especially when you're exhausted, it's good to sleep. Sometimes it's good to sleep in and sleep longer than that 6-7 hours. Sometimes it's good to take a nap. Have you ever taken a nap? Best napping weather is when it's raining hard outside. Isn't that a great time to take a nap? Kids don't know what's good for them. Sleep is good. Kids don't know what tastes good either. Have you noticed that? They like simple tastes like candy and plain stuff, but they shy away from some of the more complex tastes because they are afraid of it, but they don't know what's good. They really don't. They don't know what's good because they haven't tasted it. They haven't tasted it and seen that it's a really good taste. And Carol was willing to make me a dish this morning, so if you don't mind, I'm a little hungry sometimes after leading the service. And so she cooked me up some baked lasagna. So what's that? It's hot. Deanne made sure it was hot for me, and he was nice to bring this in here for me on a secret mission. And if you are up here, you could smell it. Anybody like lasagna? Yeah. Oh yeah, it does smell good. Excuse me.
You're not gonna share.
What's that? Are you okay eating after other people? Are you? Well, then that depends on my appetite, I guess. But when you taste lasagna, have you ever looked at something and wasn't sure if it was going to be good? And when you tasted it, oh, you wanted more of it? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Or, nice hot day, get a cool glass of lemonade. Anybody like lemonade?
Yep.
You don't mind, do you? Or sometimes making you hungry, and today's not even Food and Fellowship Day. Oh no! And sometimes anybody like to eat their dessert first?
Yes.
Okay, I have a dessert here.
What's that? Depends on what it is. Anybody like Italian ice?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have any.
That's not fair. I still
eat
after.
You still eat. Excuse me for a second.
That was good. That was good. Excuse me. Would you like some, Kathy?
Yes.
$5. $5. Actually, who would like the Italian ice? I'll let you take it, whoever wants it. Whoever speaks first. Hamilton. Okay. No. Who would like? Nobody wants it? If there were kids in here, see, kids do know what's good. If they were in here, they would eat this. Someone's saying yes, do you want this?
Yeah.
Don't spill it. Don't spill it on Cindy here. Here we are. All right. I would not eat that just because someone ate before me. But when you taste something.
It's a 5-second rule.
5-second rule. I don't have a 5-second rule. When you taste something that's good, you want more of it. When you drink something that tastes good, you want more of it because it's good. And anything like that in life is the same. When you've experienced things that are pleasant, when you've touched things, when you've done things that are fun, and it's good, you want more of it because you've experienced it. When you experience something as good, you want it. And there is one thing that sometimes we don't realize how good it is because we haven't actually experienced it. And that is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because we might think, well, I've sang some songs, and I've gone to church, and I've read the Bible, and I've said some prayers, and I've tasted, but I, for some reason, it doesn't taste the same as that baked lasagna over there, and it's not as fun. But I'm telling you that you haven't really tasted intimacy with God yet then. Because when you truly taste intimacy with God, it's beyond music, it's beyond saying prayers, it's beyond going to church. There is something more. What does it say? That we will find him when we seek him with all our heart. There is something about true intimacy with God that if you had it, you just want more of it. But how do we get that? First, we need to know what is involved in it. Psalm 34, we're going to look there. And David is trying to urge us because he has experienced, he has tasted this intimacy with God. And he's saying, listen, there is so much here. This is so good. You should try this. Have you ever had someone do that? You met a good salesman. This is so good. You should have some of this. And David is doing that right now with intimacy with God. Psalm 34, he says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Again, this commitment to seek the Lord. I am seeking the Lord. And then he's beginning to say what comes from this. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, answered prayers, and delivered me from all my fears. This is found in intimacy with God. He's saying, I've had this, and look what's there. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. So they have this joy and this peace about them in intimacy with God. Then verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. This protection, this safety, this security that is found by being in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Then verse 8, his plea. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you might say, well, I've gone to church and I didn't get anything. I've listened to some TV preachers and I didn't get anything. I've prayed, I've worshiped. Listen, unless you've truly pressed into the presence of God, you haven't yet tasted. You have yet to experience the intimacy with God that just knocks you over, just rocks your world if you really taste and see that the Lord is good. But how do I get there? How do I experience this intimacy with God? And that's what this series has been about, finding intimacy with God. And the first step of our journey was 2 weeks ago. And if you missed any of the messages, listen to them on the website or ask for a copy of the CD to get yourself up to speed with what God has been sharing with us. But the first step is this, removing the subtle idols out of our heart. Because sometimes we're singing praise songs, but we're not actually seeking the Lord. Sometimes we're praying, but we're really just seeking things from God. We're not seeking him. And so the first thing I must do is make sure that I'm actually wanting Jesus Christ. Because if I want him, then I'm going to find him. The second item, last week we learned intimacy fueled by passion. Because I can say that I'm going to make myself do something, but until you actually have a passion to do it, it's hard to make yourself do it. It just is. Unless you like doing it, it's hard to make yourself do it. And so I need to find a way to develop passion in my heart for intimacy with God. And that was last week, cultivating certain things in my heart to make sure that passion shows up there so that I have the drive to seek the Lord. And then this morning, do you ever feel like you just need a jump start? Are there any coffee drinkers here? I don't like coffee, but some of you, that's the way you wake up. You just, it gives you that jump start. Yeah, in the morning to go, yes, Molly has her load of coffee there. And sometimes we need a jump start. And even though the main thing we should be seeking is Jesus Christ, sometimes we need to see the potential. We need to see the benefits of being in Christ to jump start us in there initially. Just like we've shared that many of us have come to know Christ initially for things that we could get for ourselves. Deliverance, healing, comfort, those things is the initial reason why we came. But so we need that sometimes. We need to see that to get us jump started. And so David is doing that this morning. He's showing us all the great things that are found in intimacy with God, saying, come, come and see this. This is incredible. Come and experience this. Taste and see this. And you'll find all of intimacy's growth potential that'll ignite you to want to seek it. But many of us aren't aware of what is all in this intimacy with the Lord. So first, Psalm 34 we looked at. Second, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And Ephesians chapter 5 is sitting in context in a 6-chapter letter in which Paul is highlighting over and over and over again many things about the growth and the strength that is found in being in Jesus Christ, found in being in the body of Christ. And before we get to that passage, there's 7 verses we're going to look at Ephesians 5 about worship and intimacy with God. And right in the middle of all the growth potential that is had, we find this intimacy. Listen to this. Ephesians says that we have in Christ every spiritual blessing, 1:8. Adoption as sons, 1:5. Riches of his grace, 1:7. Lavished upon us, 1:8. Making known to us the mystery of his will, 1:9. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, 1:18. Riches of his glorious inheritance, again, 1:18. Immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, 1:19. Made alive together with Christ, 2:5. Seated us with him in the heavenly places, 2:6. Immeasurable riches of his grace, 2:7. The gift of God, 2:8. Brought near, 2:13. Access to the Father, 2:18. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, 3:19. Filled with the fullness of God, again, 3:19. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil, 6:11. All of this power, all of this strength, all of these blessings are found in the midst of our passage of finding intimacy with God. There is so much growth potential, so much power, so much strength that is had in this intimacy with God. Then, the growth in our walk with the Lord that happens in this whole book, again, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, 2:21. By the working of his power, 3:7. I bow my knees before the Father that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, 3:14 and 16. Rooted and grounded in love, 3:17. To comprehend the breadth and light and height and depth, 3:18. Equip the saints, building up the body, 4:12. Mature, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, 4:13. No longer tossed, 4:14. Grow up, 4:15. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love, 4:16. Be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, 6:10-11. Praying at all times in the Spirit, keep alert with all perseverance, 6:18. There is so much in this book just about strength and power and ability and comfort. All of these things are found in this book, Ephesians, 6 chapters. And then there is an emphasis on the character that he believes that if we find this intimacy with God, this character is going to come out of our lives. Listen to this. Walk in a manner worthy, 4:1. Humility, gentleness, patience, 4:2. Bearing with one another in love, 4:2. Speaking the truth in love, 4:15. Put off your old self, 4:22. Put on the new self, 4:24. Put away falsehood, 4:25. Do not sin, 4:26. No corrupt talk, 4:29. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, 4:31. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, 4:32. Imitators of God, 5:1. Walk in love, 5:2. Impurity not even named among you, 5:3. Walk as children of light, 5:8. Wives, submit to your husbands, 5:22. Husbands, love your wives, 5:25. Children, obey your parents, 6:1. Our passage of finding intimacy with God is right in the midst of power, right in the midst of blessings, right in the midst of strength, right in the midst of all the things that we're hoping for is a passage about finding intimacy with God. And there is so much growth potential in being intimate with the Lord that if you tasted and you've seen it, you would be going after it. I'm telling you, if you have truly, not a song, not a good feeling, not a great message, not a great church program, but if you've experienced intimacy with God, if you've tasted and seen, you want it and you want it badly. Because you see all that is inside that intimacy with Jesus Christ. But how do I get it? How do I get to that place? Because maybe I've prayed, maybe I've worshiped and sung some songs, maybe I've gone to church. How do I find this intimacy with God? Well, the way that I find intimacy with God that ignites this growth potential is by becoming the kind of worshiper that God has called me to be. Not the kind I want to be. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, Cain, when he came to sacrifice to God, he was worshiping God, but he wasn't worshiping God the way God wanted to be loved. And have you ever had somebody try to express love to you in a way that doesn't make you feel loved? And you're thinking, if you really want to make me feel loved, you would do something that makes me feel loved. And so why do we look at God sometimes and say, God, I'm worshiping you, make me comfortable? No, if we're really wanting to express worship to God, we need to become the kind of worshiper he is calling us to be. So what is that kind of worshiper? Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, we're going to look at the verses 15 through 21, says this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right here is the worship setting that we even find ourselves in this morning. Collectively coming together, singing praise and singing psalms unto God and seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of worshiper that God wants us to be. But what is it? First of all, it's this, the worshiper who is alert. Verse 15 says to be careful and watch how you walk. I need to be alert to how I'm living. Because am I actually living the way God wants me to live? Am I walking the way that God wants me to live? Or am I just living the way that I want to live? I need to watch the way that I'm walking, because a worshiper who worships God and finds intimacy with him is one who is walking in submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I need to be aware, because so many times we do that. Have you ever said something to somebody and you hurt their feelings and you didn't even realize it? Because we're so many times not in tune to what's going on, and we need to be aware and alert. Have you ever seen teenagers play video games? They are definitely not aware about anything else but that screen right in front of them. And we do that sometimes. We check out mentally. It doesn't need a TV to make it happen. We check out, and God wants us to be a worshiper who is alert. Alert to my heart. What is in my heart? Why am I angry? Why am I sad? Why am I depressed? Why am I reacting this way? Why am I worshiping this way? Why don't I care about worship right now? Why don't I care about the things of God? Why is this stuff in my heart right now? I need to become aware of that, because I can't do anything about it unless I first know and admit that it's there. And so I need to be alert to my heart. I need to be alert to the use of my time. He says, making the best use of your time. Sometimes we might say, well, I don't have time to pray, or I don't have time to read the Bible or get involved in a Bible study. I don't have time to go to church on a regular basis. I just don't have time. And Paul says we need to make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And I bet that if you would, I was a crazy boy when I was young. I was a little OCD. And when I was like 8, I loved taking notebooks and charting out the entire day, minute by minute, of what the schedule was going to look like. I was a little crazy. They didn't take me to counseling for it, but but I liked charting out the whole day. But one of the things I found is when you do that, you become aware of where you're spending your time. And so if you are saying that you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to read the Bible, you don't have time to go to church on a regular basis, then I challenge you, take a week, take 2 weeks, and jot down everything you do throughout the day. And then when you're done with that project, look at what you spend your time in. How much time are you sleeping? How much time are you watching TV? How much time are you just laying around doing nothing? How much time, and you might think, well, I have 4 kids, so I'm never lying around doing nothing. I know that is so true. But there are times, believe it or not. How much time am I working? How much time am I doing this, doing that? And then when you look at it, ask yourself the question, can any of this go? And you might say, I can't give up that TV show. I love it so much. I've been watching it for 13 years. Make the best use of your time. Have you ever heard people talk like it's an obligation? I need to make up. I need to catch up on all my TV show watching. Like it's some kind of obligation that you owe it to the actors to watch their TV show. Is that really the best use of our time? And listen, I like TV. I'm not saying I don't watch TV. But if you don't have time to pray, the TV needs to go. That book that you're reading needs to go. If you don't have time to go to church, then maybe you shouldn't be involved in as many extracurricular activities as you're involved in. Sports might have a place, and education's important, but are you really seeking the one thing? Last week, remember that? The one thing that is necessary. Because you say that you want all the growth potential that could be had in intimacy with God, but are you actually seeking Him and becoming the kind of worshiper that God is calling us to be alert, alert to the condition of my heart, alert to the use of my time, and then alert to the Lord. Verse 17 says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Is that ever hard sometimes? What is it the Lord wants me to do right now? What is the Lord saying now? The person who is always asking that question is the person that begins to know. Because we just kind of live through life without paying attention. And right now, the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. Even now as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is talking and trying to communicate with us. And I'm glad that there's some among us that are faithful to listen. Because Cindy had a word from the Lord last week about the Lord tearing down the dividing wall like the veil, and He's creating intimacy between us and God. And when she said that to me, I knew she was speaking what God was doing right then in the hearts of a number of people. And that brought encouragement because somebody was listening to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And if I want to be the kind of worshiper that has all this growth potential that is to be had, I need to be the kind of worshiper that's alert and aware. Secondly, I need to be the kind of worshiper who is filled, the kind of worshiper that is filled. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine is in comparison to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do that, but do this. And the reason why is, one, it says it's dissipation. And we talked about this several weeks ago about dissipation, meaning this being obsessed with something, that something's just got your attention. And it's got your attention so much so that you don't have time for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why the drunkenness is a concern is because when you're drunk, how alert are you? Okay? And we need to be the worshiper who is alert. And so I am disrupting what God wants me to become if I make myself not alert. And so I have to be alert, and I have to make sure that I'm getting rid of these things that are distractions. So if there are things that are distracting you from worshiping God, praying to God, seeking Him, get rid of it. And you know how extreme Jesus was? Have you ever heard Him say, if your right eye sins against you, what does He say? Pluck it out. What? If your right hand or your right arm sins against you, cut it off? Now, He's not actually telling us to dismember our body, so please don't follow that literally. But He is saying that if there is anything at all that is keeping you from a right relationship with Him, get rid of it. Doesn't matter how painful it is. Your money, your job, your television show that's so precious to you, whatever it is, get rid of it if it's a distraction, and then begin to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is this filling of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not going to get caught up in a lot of theological debates because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one that has been debated over centuries. But what we see in the Scripture is that there seems to be a very distinct experience from being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not separate by time. They can happen at the same time. But there seems to be a distinct experience, and let me illustrate that for you. First of all, the apostles were following Jesus around for 3 years. You remember that? Throughout the Gospels, for 3 years of His ministry, Peter, James, John, all the apostles were following Him. And the question is, were they believers during that time? Because if we say that they were, then they spent 3 years. Remember what happened in the first chapter of Acts and the second chapter of Acts? They were supposed to wait in Jerusalem until they received the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if they were believers those 3 years following Jesus, then they were believers prior to receiving whatever this baptism in the Holy Spirit is. Then if you look at Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul goes and he begins to minister to a group of people. And as he's ministering to them, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, they believed in Jesus Christ, but did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. So what was he asking? Well, the response was they said no, and then he prayed for them, laid hands on them, that they would receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't asking if they had any of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. He was saying, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we've not really heard of this experience. Believed first before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then our passage here is written to the church in Ephesus. This is written to people who are already believers, and Paul's instructions to them is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there is a distinctly different experience from salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, not that it can't happen right immediately when you're saved, but there is something to be had in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happens when I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, the Assemblies of God, which is a part of the movement we're a part of, believes that speaking in tongues comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but there is that experience that takes place. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit was poured out again, they began to speak in tongues. In Acts 19 that I mentioned, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Three out of the four times it takes place in Acts, tongues was the response. But one of the times it wasn't, and they didn't tell us what it was, and so we don't need to be dogmatic about the tongues. But something happens when I get filled with the Holy Spirit. Some kind of gifting begins to take place in my life. If you look throughout the entire Old Testament, when it says the Holy Spirit came upon them or the Holy Spirit filled them, there was always some kind of verbal response. Whether they prophesied, whether they gave a word, whether they spoke in tongues, there was always some kind of verbal response when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that we will receive the Holy Spirit so that we can be what? His witnesses, so that we can verbalize the gospel. Almost every time, and you can do a study for yourself, almost every time someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they have this verbal response, whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's proclaiming the gospel, some kind of verbal response. And also that person tends to be radically changed to some degree because the Holy Spirit has gotten a greater hold of their lives. And you see that they have this boldness to preach, this boldness to live out their walk with Christ the way that they should. And so this baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that God wants you to have. But sometimes people get this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they have an experience, they ended up thinking that they spoke in tongues, or maybe they did speak in tongues, and they think, aha, I had it. I've got what I need. I have arrived. I don't know if maybe you've ever felt like that before. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is it for me. I've gotten to the place that I need to be. And Paul is not saying, just get some one-time experience and then you're done. Paul is saying, be filled, be filled, be filled, keep being filled. What does the scripture say? Filled to overflowing. Don't you want more of God? Don't you want more of Him in your life? And so rather than getting hung up on, do I have to speak in tongues? Do I have to prophesy? Do I have to look differently? And all of those things, just seek more of God. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And besides, do you see those things working in your life? Do you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do you see the boldness? Do you see the change in your life? Then maybe there is more. And don't you want more? I'm telling you, if we taste and see that the Lord is good, there is so much more out there in the presence of the Holy Spirit that you've ever even touched before. And the more I can taste and see this, I get driven to want intimacy with God. But I am never going to get there unless I become the kind of worshiper God has called me to be. You can sing all the songs. You can have perfect attendance coming to church. You can read the Bible cover to cover 30 times. But unless you are seeking the Lord the way He's calling you to seek and seeking Him with all your heart, you will not ever find intimacy with God. I must do this by becoming alert, being filled, by being involved in group worship. Verse 19 says that we ought to be addressing one another. How can you do this if you're at home alone? How can you do this watching a TV preacher? What are you doing? Addressing Joel Osteen? Are you talking to him? Is he responding to you when you talk to him? And if he is, we'll have a talk afterwards. Unless you actually have his phone number. We're supposed to be in a context where we can talk with one another, where we can interact with one another. God wants us to be in a group context. In fact, a bulk of Ephesians talks about how the growth that takes place, it takes place in this group context. And I don't understand those who believe they can follow Christ faithfully and not ever find themselves placed in the body of Christ. And so if we want to become the worshiper God wants us to become, we need to be present with the group. We need to be participating in worship. It says singing, singing, singing unto the Lord. So if you find yourself just thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to wait till they're done singing these songs, and then we'll start with the real stuff, and we'll hear the guy talk for a while. Then I'll pay attention. But for now, I'm just going to daydream a little bit. Or maybe I'll stand so nobody knows that I'm thinking about what I'm going to do with the rest of my day. And maybe I'll close my eyes a little bit. Sing. Participate. You don't have to be as demonstrative as the person who's the most demonstrative among us, but sing. Worship the Lord. Clap your hands. Stand up. Kneel. Lift your hands. But seek the Lord. Participate. How can we say, God, will you make me close to you, but I'm not going to do anything at all? Just hit me with it, God. I'll just stand right here till you do. No, you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. If you want to find intimacy with God, then we have to actually be finding ourselves involved. Involved by demonstrating our affection to the Lord. Also, it says in verse 19, singing to the Lord with your heart. Tune your heart into what the Holy Spirit is doing. Care. Care about worshiping the Lord. Care about studying the Word. Care. If I don't have my heart into it, then I'm not really worshiping the Lord. I'm just serving some kind of obligation that I'm trying to meet. If you want intimacy with God, and all that power, all the growth potential, all the strength, all the blessings that's found in tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, if you're not seeking the Lord the way He's called you to seek, if you're not the worshiper God has called you to come, you've not tasted it yet. You have not experienced it. So if you think church life is stale and the Bible is boring, you have yet to taste intimacy with God. Because I know that if you've tasted it, and I've talked to plenty of people who have, you just want more. You just want more. But I only get there if I become the worshiper God has called me to be. To be alert, filled, involved in group worship, and thankful. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God. Giving thanks always. This is not just once a week kind of thing. This is not even just a once a day kind of thing. This is every day throughout the day. Thank you, God, for the weather. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for life. I woke up alive today. Thank you, God, that I don't have pain this day. Thank you, God, that I can walk. Thank you, God, for all of these things. Thanking, thanking, thanking all the time and creating this thankfulness in my heart. We saw that last week. This is throughout the scripture, this kind of thankful heart that we ought to have. But thanking God for what? What did it say there? For everything. You mean my migraine? You mean my backache? You mean when I lost my job? You mean when someone passed away? You mean everything? Thanking God for everything. Carol this week had a big tree that just crashed right into her yard and destroyed a number of her property items in the back of her yard. And when I talked to her, she said, I'm thanking God that he sent that tree over because of this. I don't remember the reasons why, but there are various reasons why. She was thankful that God let the tree crash into her yard. Now, that probably wouldn't be most of our response when we look out and see a bunch of damaged property. Thank you, God, for damaging all my property. But Carol, God bless her, but she's got that thankful heart. Because if I find myself looking, because I tell you, under every corner, under every rock, under every suffering, under every trial, there is a blessing, there is power, there is hope. If we can just see it, if we cultivate a thankful heart within me. But if I don't do that, then any little blind side, any little problem will rob me from seeking Him. And I must, if I want to find, don't you want that? Don't you want such intimacy with God that there is power there, there is presence there is comfort there is strength there is growth there. The growth potential that is found in intimacy with God, if we really understood it, oh, the compulsion that we would have to seek Him, but I haven't tasted it. I haven't even tried it out. Not because I've sung some songs or gone to church or read the Bible or pray. I have not sought it unless I have sought it with all my heart by becoming the worshiper God has called me to be. To be alert, filled, involved in group worship, thankful, and lastly, cooperative. It says in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Sometimes someone next to you might break out in exuberant praise and shout and clap or dance. And you might think, that's not for me. And in case anybody knows, that wasn't me that just did that. I've been in worship service where someone has let out just a crazy, like almost a howl sound. And you can't tell where it came from. And I know, because I see the people doing this. That wasn't me. It wasn't me that did that. Or maybe you just really wish you would get more excited if everybody else was more excited. And so you're just frustrated that everybody else is worshiping like this. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, they liked my post. Oh, the blood of... And you see, sometimes worship isn't about me. It's not about what I like. It's not about what makes me comfortable or... Sometimes people get worked up over the silliest things. Listen, if it's not blasphemous in the Bible, then it's not blasphemous to God. I can't believe they put pictures behind the words on the screen. I can't believe that they're using TV sets in that church service over there. I can't believe there's lights and a smoke machine. I can't believe they're singing those old songs still. I can't believe they're singing all the new songs. Who knows those songs? I can't believe they have a drum set in here. What are they doing? This isn't a rock concert. Drums are not blasphemous to God. They're not. Shouting and solemn is not blasphemous to God. Sitting during worship. Listen, some of you guys have aches and pains. It's okay if they sit during worship. It's okay if someone gets a little carried away. That's not blasphemous to God. And if I find myself submissive to one another, that I'm more concerned about what helps them worship. What helps them be comfortable before the Lord? And so if they need to shout, great, that's fine. I'll enjoy it with them shouting. I'll get over it. I remember that I was a part of a church that in the board meeting, they had to have a consultation on what to do with the lady who did demonstrative dance and worship and always found herself in the front of the altar demonstrating worship. And they had to figure out, what would we do with this problem? Because it's distracting people. Listen, if they're going up there trying to draw attention to themselves, that's a different thing. But if they're worshiping the Lord, let's let them worship the Lord. Be cooperative and submissive to one another. And if I become this kind of a worshiper, listen, have you really tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Because if you have all the demonstration of the power, all the intimacy, all the presence of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts, all the demonstrations, all the comfort, all that growth potential is had if we are seeking the one thing that is necessary. If I taste and see it. But you haven't tasted and seen it unless you become the worshiper God has called you to be. The worshiper who is alert, the worshiper who is filled, the worshiper who is involved in group worship, the worshiper who is thankful, and the worshiper who is cooperative. Is that who I am before God this morning? If you would, stand with me. Worship team, if you'd come and prepare to lead us. Is that the kind of worshiper that I really am this morning? I'm not asking, do you sing real loud? I'm not asking if you read 3 chapters of the Bible every day. I'm not asking if you pray for an hour a day. I'm not asking if you've had perfect attendance in church since 1965. I'm asking, are you the kind of worshiper God has called you to be? Are you really seeking Him and seeking Him with all your heart? Because if that's where you are, you will find Him. And those of you who have found Him, you know this to be true. When we taste and see, He is so good. It is so good to be in the presence of the Lord. It is so good to study His Word. It is so good to seek His face. It is so good to worship Him in the body of Christ and even alone. It is so good to be in God's presence. And we know that when we actually have tasted the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you're here this morning, and you sense the Lord tugging on your heart that I'm not really the kind of worshiper God's called me to be. Maybe I sing, maybe I go to church, all that stuff. But I know that the Lord is touching my heart saying, that's you. You haven't really tasted yet because you're not seeking me the way I'm calling you to. And you hear the Lord touching you and tugging on your heart. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't let somebody or don't let people's perspective of you rob you of this growth potential. And so if He's tugging on your heart, I want to challenge you. Come find a place even now and seek the Lord at these altars and say, I'm today going to commit to becoming the kind of worshiper God has called me to be. And I'm going to trust that He'll help me to do that. And I'm going to trust that He's going to be faithful and I'll find that strength. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to come. Secondly, I want to say right here in the center of this altar area, right in the middle here, for those who would like to be filled with, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not asking, do you speak in tongues? I'm not asking. I'm asking you, do you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is there a reason why you know that? Or do you find yourself thinking, is there more than this? Is there more of His presence? Is there more? Maybe I'm not operating in the fruit of the Spirit. Why is that? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Am I operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, healings, miracles. Am I operating in those gifts? Then is there more to be had? I'm not asking you, have you reached the point that you thought you've arrived? Maybe you believe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you have, but isn't there more? And so if you're today saying, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come and find your way up here in this center aisle and stand and begin to seek the Lord for the filling of the Holy Spirit. and give them time. And once they're here, I'm going to ask you if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, not because you filled out a membership application or somebody told you that you were, but because you've actually seen the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's some gift of the Holy Spirit, whether this boldness has come over you, this ability to witness, whatever it is, but you have seen a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, then I'm going to ask you to come and stand behind these that come for this baptism. And I want you to lay your hands on them and pray for them that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to make sure they speak in tongues. And I'm not asking you to coach somebody on how to speak in tongues. You don't need to tell them, all right, just say what's coming on your mind. You don't need to tell them to talk faster and try to make them stutter. You don't need to coach tongues. Tongues is an unlearned language that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to teach them that. And so when you come, just lay your, that's all they did in the Bible, laid their hands on them and pray. And so when you come and lay your hands on some that are seeking this, don't coach them. Just pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want more? Don't you want more? He's here this morning. He wants to give it. So if you're committed.